So, Father God, we just want to thank you this morning, Father God, as we come together, Father God, in your name, Father God. And we come this morning to give you praise, honor, and glory, Father God. Father God, we touch and agree for the things that the pastor asked for prayer, Father God, for Pastor McNair, Father God, and for the Free at Last Men and Women House, Father God. We do touch and agree on that, Father God. And Father God, we wanna pray for our missing, Father God, our people that's normally here, Father God. We don't know where they're at today, Father God, but you know exactly where they're at this time and this exact hour, Father God. So we just pray for them, Father God, and we just pray, Father God, that they do join us, Father God, and don't forget, Father God, that all praises belong to you, Father God, and we need to praise you each and every day, not just on Sundays and Saturdays, but each and every day we need to praise you, Father God. And I pray that the words from my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Father God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
I'm sitting here and God has just given me a sermon out of these choruses that we heard this morning, and I'm not going to do it this morning, but you know, that chorus that is originally was a Church of God in Christ chorus that says, yes, if you try singing that song, I guarantee you that something will change on the inside of you as you say yes to the Lord. We don't say that enough, saying yes to the Lord, yes to your will. You know, you made a way. That's what the words of that chorus, that's how they sing it. And it never fails to stir the Spirit of God up on the inside of me. And you know, I think about that other song that is so popular, an old, I surrender all. That's what you do when you say yes to the Lord. You surrender all, yes to the Lord, yes to your will, yes to your way. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. And that's what we have to learn. And then that brother in Atlanta that Patsy and I are planning a trip to Atlanta. She's getting ready to go to Texas right now. We decided we were going to go to Atlanta soon. And this brother that I always include him in our praise and worship, I'm going to that church. I'm going to make a point to go to that church. And, you know, he's singing, I love the Lord and anointing for long. And then that old song called Even Me, Lord, Let Some Drops Now Fall on Me. I was a girl when I got saved. I was 10 years old when I was baptized with water and accepted the Lord. And of course, a lot of water had fallen over the bridge since then, and I backslid some years and all of that. But it's more precious to me today than it was at that time when I first heard that song. Even me, Lord, let some drops fall off. You see, that'll preach. That by itself will preach. And then this young woman, said, deliverance is available. We need to understand that deliverance is available. So now that I have warmed it up for you, Reverend, I want you to go ahead and bring us the word.
All right. Amen. Amen. Okay. So, yeah, you know, I was listening to those. Yeah, I feel you on those songs this morning, Pastor. Those songs kind of put me in the spirit this morning. But morning, I just want to talk about somebody who can fix it. I want to talk about fixing it, getting it fixed. You know, I want to talk about somebody who can fix something from a headache to a heartache. I want to talk about somebody can fix something from your physical to your mental, all the way to your finances. And that's Jesus. We're going to talk about Jesus will fix it this morning, if you let him. If you let him. Jesus will fix it. I don't care what the problem is. I don't care what the situation is, but you must let him do it. You can't think you can do everything on your own. You don't have the power. Jesus has the power to fix it. You know, we all know the story about the woman with the issue with blood. We all know that story, how she bled for all those 12 long years. 12 long years, spent all her money on these doctors, spent everything she had to get cured, but nothing can cure her but one thing, and that was Jesus. We can find that in Luke 8:43. And a woman have an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. Neither could be healed of any. 44 says, came behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood was gone. Immediately her issue of blood was gone. And I want to tell you, it wasn't only because she believed that, it's because of her faith. She was healed by her faith. She had faith. You know, I get people that tell me, Richard, I pray all the time and just don't nothing happen. And when they tell me that, I already know. I don't say nothing, but I already know they don't have the faith. When they tell me I pray and don't nothing happen, I already know they not believing in what they praying in. And they don't have the faith that God would fix it. And the reason why I know that they don't have it, because if they did, they wouldn't told me that. They wouldn't told me that. They would have continued in prayer. I want to continue reading that. Luke 8:45 said, and Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thee and press thee. And said, though, who touched me? In other words, they were saying, hey, you walking through this crowd and everybody wants to touch you. And Jesus said, somebody has touched me, for I perceive the virtue is gone out of me. So what he was saying is, yes, these people touching me, but when this one person touched me, I felt her faith. When that woman with the issue of blood touched him, he felt her faith and healed her immediately. See, everybody was touching him and everybody had problems, but everybody didn't have that faith. And everybody didn't believe. See, it's a saying, say faith without work is dead. You got to believe in what you're praying for, and you got to have faith in what you're praying for as you pray in vain. You got to believe in what you asked in God for. You know, and we all know the story about the blind man who could not see. And it was many times that Jesus healed the blind, but we all know the story about the blind man who could not see. And if you don't know about it, go to Mark 8:22. Mark 8:22 says, and he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man into him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spat on his eyes and put his hand upon him, he asked him if he saw out. He asked him, could he see after he spat and touched his eyes? He wanted to know, could he see? And the man looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. See, he touched him, and the man didn't have enough faith to really see. He didn't have enough faith to see. Not all the way anyway. He believed. I'm trying to make a point here. He believed, but what was his faith? All he could see was men walking. As trees walking. He couldn't even see the men. He seen the men as trees. So Jesus went again, and after he had put his hand again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. and saw every man clearly. See, the deal is, when Jesus first touched him, that man's faith wasn't strong enough. But his faith got stronger when he seen something. When he seen something, even though it was trees and they were walking like men, he seen something, and his belief and his faith got a little stronger. Y'all feel me on that? Y'all too near me not to hear me. We talking about Jesus will fix it if you let him. See, that man, after Jesus touched him the second time, that man let him. That man let him help. He felt it. He said, I can see some trees going on here. I can see something. So you must be. Let me pull up this faith and then maybe I can see. See, and we all kind of the same way. We all on here right now, we're all believers. We all believers, but how strong is our faith? And I'm asking myself that too. I'm going to tell you something. If I get up in the morning and I feel good and I feel okay and my body feel good and my stomach ain't or head ain't hurting, I'm scared. I know that may sound stupid and crazy to y'all, but I'm just keeping it real and telling you the truth. I'm scared because it's been so many years of turmoil, so many years of pain. I have gotten used to it. I've gotten used to waking up and feeling bad and ho-hum, that when I feel good, when God gave me that, I feel like, uh-oh, something going on today. I feel good. I jumped up out of bed. My legs don't hurt. My back don't hurt. My neck don't hurt. Kind of crazy, you know, because see, I believe that I can wake up good, but my faith is weak when it comes to that. My faith is weak. I don't believe that Jesus can fix it for me to get up in the morning and feel good. Yeah, that's a shame, y'all. But hey, that's just the way it is. And I got to get my faith up. I got to build my faith up, because faith without work is dead. Jesus will fix anything. So some people think that, hey, I've done so much and I did so much wrong in my life. Why would God fix something for me? Why would God help me? I've been a heathen all my life, a drug addict, a user. And I'm not just talking about drugs, a user of people all my life. Why would God help me? Jesus will help anybody. What 1 John 1:9 says, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I want you to understand those last two words, all unrighteousness. Whatever we've done in the past, whatever we think that God will not forgive us for, we need to confess it. We need to confess it, and he is faithful and just to forgive us for everything. 1 John 10 says, before I read that scripture, I got to tell you, because we all know these people. We all have met at least one person that I don't sin. I'm a holy roller. I don't sin. I don't do nothing. I praise the Lord. I pray every morning and I don't sin. Well, Pastor talked about it last week. We all sin something. I forgot that title of that. And I meant to tell you, Pastor, that title for your last week's sermon, I remember I said, because of the title, it was something about sin, unforgetting. I forgot the title. And I remember I told you that people was going to look at that title and don't listen. Well, I was wrong, because we had quite a few listeners for that title. So I meant to tell you that I was wrong about that. People did listen and they're continuing to listen. And that's because we all need to know about sin. See, don't nobody want to talk about it. And a lot of people want to claim that they don't have any and they don't do any. But see, what they need to do is listen to that last sermon, and then maybe they might know, oh, Yeah, I do have some. Some that I don't even mean to commit. I don't wake up in the morning and plan on sinning. That's not my goal. So every morning we need to confess our sins. And I have a prayer that I do. You know, I ask God to forgive me for my sins that I have committed and the ones that I am going to commit. And not on purpose. Because I don't wake up in the morning and say, okay, Lord, I guess I'll do some sinning today. And none of us on this line right now do that. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And for those who don't have no sin, I want you to read 1 John 1 and 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. His word is not in us. If we want to walk around and be a holy roller, that's okay. But don't lie and say you don't sin. Don't lie because he sees all. He sees those sins you commit that you may not even thought you committed. So let's not go there. We don't want to go there. I want to go to John 10 and 9. What it says, what the word says, I am the door. By me, if any man enters, he shall be saved. I'm going to read all of that, but I want you to understand that part. It says, if any man enter, he will be saved. That mean the drug addict, that mean the drug dealer. That mean the alcoholic, that mean the wife beater. I don't want to put it like that, but they can change too. It says, whether I agree with it or not, whether I agree with some sins that shouldn't be, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to leave that right there. But what the word says, what the Bible says, if any man enters, any man, Zedric, any man enters, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture because he is the door. And by me, he says, if any man enters, he shall be saved. And I keep repeating that because that gave me hope. That let me know that I can enter and I can be saved because I'm just any man. I'm just a man. I can enter with thanksgiving in my heart and be saved. Amen. Boy, see, I'm going to tell y'all, that may not make y'all feel good, but that let me know God has given me, that let me know Jesus can fix it. He can take a broke down drug addict thinking he's slick, weighing 122 pounds. Pastor got the pictures. I was about 130 when she took that picture because I had been in the program for a week and they fed me. So, but when I went in there, I guarantee you I wasn't no more than 125. God took a wrench like me. A wrench like me. And I'm going to tell y'all something, you know, and I don't mind sharing it. My first week in the program, those drugs coming out of my body, do you know I couldn't get out the bed for a whole week? My body was not ready to even get out the bed when I entered free at last, Zedric. When I walked in there, Zedric, I couldn't get out the bed, man. You know, night he'll come knock on that door, 5:30, wake up call. I bet he stood doing it right now. 5:30 wake up call, and you did that walk. Well, let me tell you what God did for me. A month later, Zedric, I was jogging that mile that we walk every morning. I was jogging a month later. Ain't God good? I went from couldn't walk because I wasn't used. My body wasn't used to not having those drugs every morning, right? So my body wasn't used to it. But a month later, I was jogging. See, God is a wonderful, merciful God. Not too long after that, I got a job. See, God is a merciful, wonderful God. After that, I got a job, y'all. After that, I had a bank account. After that, I had my own credit card. It didn't have your name on it, which I wish I never got them. But the credit cards I got, and I ain't got nobody's name on it but mine. See, God is good. All these things that I thought I could never have and never do because I was turning 46 when I went into rehab. He'll help the old. He'll help the new. He'll help the young. He'll help the sick. He'll help the lame. He'll help the blind. Jesus can fix it if you let him. But if you don't let him, let me tell you what John 10:10 said. Let me tell you what happened if you don't let him. Well, John 10:10 says the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. See, that's your other option. That's your other option, to let the thief creep in like what Luther Vandross say, creep, 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 creep. You can let the enemy creep on in there, and that's what's going to happen. He's going to steal from you. He's going to kill you and destroy you. Now, when they say kill, that don't mean you're going to die. He's going to kill your spirit. He's going to kill your spirit and do everything he can to destroy you. And most of us know this because he already done it to us. He's already tried to kill, steal, and destroy us already. But you know what else it says? It says the thief come not but for to kill, steal, and destroy. But it says, I am come that they might have life, and they may have it more abundantly. Abundantly. Do you know that God has a window for us? There's a window for us in heaven, and he's waiting to open that window and pour us out some blessings that we cannot even handle. It's some blessings up there for us, Sabrina G, Sabrina Hale, Erica, Monisa, all of us, every last one of us. It's some windows that our name is on it. And to make no mistake, our last name is on it. And just to make it clear, our middle name, if we got one, is on that window. And it belongs to you. Why you don't deserve it? Why you don't deserve it? Have faith in Jesus. Have faith. Have faith. Believe. Believe. Just don't pray. Just don't pray. Believe in what you pray in. Put some substance to your prayer. Don't waver in your prayers. What you want is what you ask for. If it's what God, if it's within God's will, and you believe it and you have faith. See, we can't touch the hem of his garment right now. We can't touch the hem of his garment, but we can pray and touch his heart. We can pray and believe and have faith and touch the heart. Amen. Amen. I ain't done yet, y'all. I ain't done yet. Let's go to John 3:15. I'm going to end it in a minute, but I want to go to John 3:15 because what the word says, that's whosoever, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have eternal life. Whosoever, once again, that addict, that homeless person, and Lord forgive me, but that murderer, that's sitting in jail right now, that's learning about the Lord, because that was the only time he picked up the Bible, because he had many years to serve. So he decided he going to pick up the Bible while he in jail. I'm quite sure pastor done been over there and she done preached to some of them people. Them people have went in that jail and picked up a Bible and wondered before they picked up that Bible, oh, I made a mistake. What am I doing in here? You was in there because you wouldn't pick up the Bible on the outside. So he put you in there so you would pick it up on the inside. And they become some wonderful people, y'all. Yes, Lord. They become some wonderful people right out of the penitentiary. That's why he wrote this. That's why this was written so many, 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 many years ago. It says that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. Whosoever. That means whosoever, y'all. I'm going to leave that word alone. So this is what God did. And I don't know why he loves us so much. We didn't do nothing to deserve the love that Jesus had for us. Y'all seen some movies. Y'all heard some stories. Y'all know how they treated Jesus. Y'all know how they treated him. And I'm not only talking about on the cross. I'm talking about as he walked, as he lived. Y'all know how he treated that man. Why did God love us so much that John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. That's whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Why did God do that? What did we do to deserve that much love? I have no clue. So all I know what I can do is give that much love. I can give that much love. I have it here. I wanted to read all of that, and the Lord will tell me why in a minute. It's 3:18 said, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So you have those people who believe in God but just don't believe in Jesus. You have those people that say Jesus was a man, a great prophet, and this and that. So through the years, only other great prophets that I know that would make people walk and heal people, they was followers of Jesus. I believe in Jesus. And I have said this before. When they find his body, now they done found some dinosaur bones a million years old. Where's Jesus' body? Y'all, anybody know? Because I know it left and it sent it to heaven. So all you people that don't believe in Jesus, I want you to just, you know, send me an email or something. I know it's going to be a few people listening later. Please send me an email. Write me a letter. I don't care. If you can tell me where that body is, I would love to know. We find dinosaur bones and forensic files, find people that ain't nothing but skeletons and can tell you if it was a man or woman, how many children they had, but you can't find Jesus' bones. And I know why you can't, so I'm going to leave that alone. And it says, oh, and I talked about this already. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and save the crushed in spirit. You can find that in Psalms 34:18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and save the crushed in spirit. Sometime, y'all, I have verses here that was added, that I added because at that time I was supposed to. So Corinthians 10:13. "There having no temptation taken you, but such as in a common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above the are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it." Okay, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Y'all have to read that on yourself, but this is why the Lord gave me that scripture, because I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what's happening in your life. See, God has a way. God makes a way when there's absolutely no way. There's a way to escape what's going on. And whatever it is a part of the enemy. But God is not. Don't let his believers and his faithful people suffer to the point where they can't bear it. I want you to read that on your own. But this is what I got when I saw it. Because see, Jesus will fix it. No matter what's going on in your life and no matter what's happening in your life today, Jesus will fix it. It ain't but five of us right now, but I want each one of y'all to come off mute for a second, please. Sabrina G and Erica, come off mute for 1 second. All right, maybe they can't do it right now. There goes Sabrina G and there go Erica. And I just want y'all to say one thing with me. Just one thing. I want everybody to say, Jesus will fix it. Come on.
Jesus will fix it.
Will fix it.
If you let him.
If you let
Amen, Pastor. I'm done.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, thank God for the word. It's always important that we know what the word says, and we need to understand about faith, and we need to understand about what we believe. You know, that's what a part of the requirement for me to be ordained by my alma mater, Ramah Bible Training College, is every year when it's time for me to renew my ordination papers, they send a document. And that document talks about what I believe. And it asks me those same questions over and over again about what I believe. It's very important that we know what we believe. And then I want to add to that, that the word of God says in Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that doesn't mean just hearing it one time. It means hearing the word all the time. You see, you got to keep that going, that you hear what the word says, and you receive what the word says, and you believe what the word says, and then you speak it out of your mouth, because that's faith in action, that you speak in that word out of your mouth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have to know the source. We have to know the source. So I'm not going to re-preach a already well-done sermon, but I just needed to remind you that faith comes by hearing. So those who are not reading the word of God, they're not attending services to hear the word of God. You know, we have to be careful what we allow to go into our hearing, our ear gates. That's what I call them. Our ear gates. We have to be careful what we let go inside of us, because whatever goes inside of you, that's what you're going to begin to think, and you're going to begin to speak. And as you speak it out of your mouth, it becomes that. Because God has given us to know that the power of life and death is in the tongue. So I'm going to leave that alone, because I could go a whole bunch of ways with that. And we've already heard a wonderful sermon. But I thank God for the teaching, and I thank God for the teacher. And so with that said, we're going to get ready to dismiss. But if there's anyone out there who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ and the pardon of their sins, then I just helped you to find out how to do that. Because if you go to Romans 10:9-10, it will tell you how to receive salvation. And then it goes on in Romans 10:17 to tell you about faith. Because when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you accept him by faith, and you believe in your heart, and you confess with your mouth that he is Lord, that he is God in bodily form. Do you not know that Jesus left here in a body, and that body is now transformed? It's better than our human body, because it's now doesn't get sick, and it doesn't have the frailties of a human body. But he sits at the right hand of the throne of grace, making an intercession for us right now in that body. He's the only one in heaven with a body, but it's called the glorified body. I'm going to do some teaching on that so y'all understand that body that he had on earth would bleed, and it got tired, and it got sick. Jesus never got sick, but it had the capability of getting sick. But this glorified body that we're going to have when we get to heaven doesn't have those frailties. So I'm going to leave that alone, because that's another sermon altogether. But we want you to know that if you confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And if you said that this morning, then you can know, if you ask Jesus into your life this morning, you ask him to be your Lord and Savior, and you believe that he died and that he was buried and that he was resurrected on the third day, then salvation belongs to you this morning. And you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, and old things have passed away, and behold, everything has become new. Reverend talks a little bit about how he was before God got a hold of him. Well, we all have those stories. You may want to say you've been saved and free from sin all your life, but honey, if God was, if we would ask God about you, I'm sure he has some notes on you that will spring differently. But once we receive him, once we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, then all of that gets thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. God don't want to remember what you did before you were saved, because he has allowed you to become a new creature in Christ Jesus. So if that's you this morning, please let us know. And you can leave a text at 650-814-6705, and I will receive that text, and certainly we welcome you into the family of God. And if you're looking for a church home, we welcome you to Bread of Life Evangelistic Outreach. And with that said, I'm going to turn it over now to back to Reverend so he can dismiss us this morning.
Amen. Amen. So, Father God, we thank you again this morning, Father God. We thank you for everything, Father God. We thank you for waking us up this morning, Father God, clothing us, feeding us, and keeping us in our right minds, Father God. And Father God, we know, Father God, that deliverance is available to us, Father God. We know deliverance is available to all of your people, Father God. So we thank you for that as well, Father God. We thank you for each and every one that has joined us this morning, Father God. We thank you for those who will listen or look later, Father God. We just thank you for them. We ask the hedge of protection over each and every one of us, Father God, and the family members that are represented as well, Father God. So we just give you glory this morning, Father God. We want to thank you, give you praise, give you honor, and give you glory this morning in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everyone say amen.
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 Praise
amen.
I'm glad that you all joined us this morning, and I'll be getting back to you with the information about the August 6th event for those that you can't, that can attend, and for those who won't be able to attend, but hopefully will be able to do Zoom with us. And so have a blessed day in the Lord. Be safe, and we love you, and God bless you.
All right, everybody. Have a good one.
Have a nice week.
Thank you, Rev.
All right. Amen.